Guys, this isn't the first song. Good morning, everyone. How are you? Happy Sunday. Put your hands together. We come alive to magnify. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all of our goodness. Thank you. Put your hands up and sing together with me. This is a beautiful song.
Yours, and the praise is yours. we lift you up. We lift you up. You will reign forevermore. Glory and praise, power and strength. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise this morning. Lord, we worship you. Give him praise. Put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand of praise today. Just tell him, Lord, it's all about you. We worship you. We give you glory. We give you praise, Lord. We exalt you. Amen, church. Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. We are going to have our prayer and praise right now. This is the time where if you need prayer, if you have a need, we want to pray for you. You know, there is nothing, the Bible says there is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. There's nothing that is impossible for God. That our God is a healer, he's a deliverer, he's a protector, he's a provider. And you know, he tells us, the Lord tells us, call upon me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things. And you know, I'm going to be speaking today. I'm going to be preaching about ask God. You know, so often the Bible says we do not receive what we need because we don't ask him. And you know, God wants us to ask him. Whatever we're facing, he wants to help you. So I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come forward and stand at the front. And I'm going to ask if you need prayer today to come forward. We want to pray with you. And I want us all to agree and trust God and thank God for Leslie. You know, Leslie was admitted to hospital on Tuesday with blood clots in her leg. And I didn't realize that she was there until Friday. I went to see her on, when did I see you? I saw you Friday night and I anointed her with oil and I prayed over her. And praise God, they released her yesterday. But I want you to join your faith together, and I want us to trust God with Leslie, because they told her that she had 9 blood clots in her leg, in her femoral artery. And so, how many of you know that our God is the healer?
Yes.
Amen. So I want you, will you stretch your hands with me toward Leslie this morning, and will you agree with us today? Father, we thank you that you are our healer. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus, he took our sickness and he bore our diseases. He took our pains on that cross. And by his wounds, by his stripes, we were healed. Lord, you paid the price for us to be healed. And Lord, I thank you that as I have anointed Leslie and prayed the prayer of faith, I thank you that your healing power is working in her body. And we want to, Lord, we agree. Say, I agree. In the name of Jesus, we agree that Leslie is healed. Thank you. for healing her leg. Thank you that these blood clots dissolve and they disappear in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your healing anointing that is flowing right now through Leslie. Thank you for restoring her health. Thank you for healing her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Thank you for perfect blood flow. Lord, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And everybody shouted amen. 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 Give God thanks and praise today. Hallelujah.
You know, I wanted to say that as you're coming forward, we're going to sing one more song. And if you need prayer, just come forward. But it's not just for healing. You know, we had a couple of praise reports. Eva was telling us that she's been believing God for a job. Yeah. Right, Eva? Wave your hand. You happy, aren't you? Praise God. She got an amazing job close to home. Just God gave her a favor when she went in there. So he answers prayer. He hears and answers prayer, right? And I wanted to just give another praise report, just quick one. Mom, wave your hand. We just want to congratulate Mom and Ron for getting engaged.
Congratulations.
God's doing some things here, a little matchmaking. How about that? And we have some prayer requests. Sam's believing God. She's got some big things happening in her business, some expansion. She needs some new employees. She wants God to just go before her. We believe in God with her right there. Someone's praying for an infection. They have an infection in their leg. But if whatever it is, I just want to remind you that God is still in the prayer answering business. Amen. So as we sing this final worship song, for those of you not coming forward, worship God with us. It changes the atmosphere. For those of you who need prayer, just come on forward and we'll pray with you.
We're going to sing the song, The Waymaker. How many of you know that our God is a waymaker? How many of you believe that our God makes a way when there doesn't seem to be a way? Amen. If you believe it, sing it with us. Whatever you're facing this morning, this is your declaration to the Lord today. Lord, I believe that you're making a way for me. I believe you're the way maker. You're the miracle worker. You're the promise keeper. You're my light in the darkness. And Lord, I worship you today. Let's worship him, church. Amen.
You are here. Worship you, I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Come on, sing it with me. You are here moving in our midst. I worship you. You are here. Working in this place. I worship you. Here we go. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Light in the darkness, my God.
Cause even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop.
This morning to be reminded of who God is. Come on, even when you don't see it, He's working. When you don't feel it, He's working. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We serve an amazing God. Family, we're going to take 60 seconds. Just find somebody around you. Church family, just greet one another. You look good this morning. So good to have you worshiping God with us. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Welcome to those that are watching on Facebook Live, that are watching on our mobile app. We have people watch from all over. We have at least twice as many people watch online that we do have right here. And so welcome. We're glad you're part of the service today. And welcome to you. We're so glad that you're here. I want to welcome anyone that may be visiting for the first time today. If you this is your first time at Ascend Church, we'd like to just give you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. Anybody here for the first time? Anybody here for the first time? Okay, I don't see any hands. We're going to change that. We're going to change that. I want to give you one more testimony. Brother James Smith. He's probably doing something. He's our head usher. And he had eyes. There he is, right at the back. Rapper James, singer James. He had eye surgery this week. And Angela was telling us that the doctor said he had some repair done. And they said, I'm not sure that he's going to be able to open his eye completely and his eyes perfectly well. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. God knows more than the doctors, right? Praise God. Well, we're so glad you're in church today. And if you are, if you share us on social media, it really makes gives an opportunity for people that are in your world, whether they're in Jupiter or in Florida or in any part of the world, to be able to share in the service. So go ahead and share that. We appreciate it. Just remind you of our four purposes in the in our church. First of all, is to help you to know God better, right? Second of all, to find freedom. Thirdly, to discover your purpose. And lastly, to make a difference with your life. That's what we're all about. Amen. And Pastor Steve, we're ready for you.
Praise God. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Good to be in church, right? What a beautiful day. And we are going to have a great time. We already have. I really appreciate Leslie. You know, she checked out of the hospital yesterday afternoon. And she's here today. And I just want to say thank you for coming, Leslie. And we are trusting God for your full recovery. Your full recovery. Amen. Amen. Well, good, man. When you came in today, I left that little card. Did you get our new invite card when you came in today? Isn't that great? Because, you know, so many times, I don't know what we were thinking. We made those other invite cards, they were like this big. You needed like a carry-on to carry your invites around with you. So I don't know what we were thinking, but we designed like a business card. So it's real easy to carry them with you. And also you can write on the back. So like, you know, often I meet people and you may want to give them your name or your number and, you know, call me. And so we've got thousands of these things. And everyone, when you came in today, you should have gotten five. Because I'm encouraging you in 2020, in the year 2020, we're all going to bring 20 people to church this year. I said we're going to bring 20 people to church in 2020, right? So get started. Keep these with you. And we give these out. I mean, we invite people all the time. So that's just a little tool. How many of you know that if we all were bringing people every week, man, there should never be a service when we don't have brand new visitors here. There should never be a service when we don't have brand new visitors. Amen? Because how many of you know it's not all just about us? We come to church for us. God wants to bless us. God wants to help us. But it's also about, there's a world out there that Jesus came and died for that he wants us to reach out and offer them the wonderful gift of eternal life that we have received. Amen? Praise God. Well, we're glad you're here today. Are you ready for God's word this morning? You can keep on playing as I pray. Father, thank you for your word today, Lord. We give you thanks and praise. Thank you that you're so good. Thank you, Lord, that you have told us to ask you for whatever we need, whatever we desire, that, Lord, you long to meet every need in our life. You're a good God. And, Lord, I thank you today that as I teach your word, I thank you for anointing me and helping me and bringing understanding and revelation. And, Lord, I thank you that not one person leaves the same way they came in, but we change just a little bit more. We learn just a little bit more. We grow just a little bit more. We move up just a little bit higher in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you, worship team. Why don't you give the worship team a big round of applause? They did a great job as always. I want to speak about Ask God. That's the title of what I want to speak about this morning. And Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7, if you read it from the Message Bible, it says it like this: don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your child asks for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks you for a fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. So don't you think that the God who conceived you in love will be even better to you? Jesus said, man, don't bargain with God. Just be direct. Ask him for what you need. God wants you to ask him for help. In Psalm chapter 2, in verse 8, the psalmist David said, ask of me And I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Now, God said, ask me and I'll give you the nations. You see, God likes it when we ask him for big things. Because God is a big God. And how you pray will determine what kind of life you live. If you only pray small, ordinary, get by prayers, most likely you will live a small, ordinary, get by life. But when you are bold to ask God for big things, you will see the greatness of God's power. We see this all through the scripture. We see, man, Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain. And then he prayed again that it would rain, and the rain came. Elijah prayed for a widow's son to be raised from the dead, and he was. Joshua prayed for more sunlight, that the sun would stand still, and God stopped the sun for 24 hours. Isaac prayed for his barren wife, Rebecca, and the Lord answered, and she fell pregnant. Let me tell you, all through the scripture, you see people that were bold to ask God for big things. The common denominator is they asked God for the unthinkable. When was the last time that you asked God to do something impossible, something out of the ordinary? Because I really believe one reason that we don't see God do bigger things is because we only ask him for small things. But God is saying to us today, ask me for big things. Ask me for those hidden dreams that I've put in your heart. There should be something that you are praying about, something that you are asking God for that seems so far out, you could never accomplish it on your own ability or your own strength. You may have a dream, looks impossible. You don't have the connections. You don't have the resources. But God is saying, I dare you to ask me to bring that dream to pass in your life. Ask me for big things. You know, sometimes we pray like this. Lord, my child is off course, not making the right decisions. I pray that you'll just turn him around. Listen, that's good, but that's an ordinary prayer. Ordinary prayers get ordinary results. God meets you at the level of your faith. If you ask small, you're going to get small. Let me tell you a big prayer. A big prayer is, God, I'm asking you not only to turn my child around, but use him in a great way. Let him make a difference in his life. That's a big prayer. A small, ordinary prayer is, God, help me to get by this month. Help me just to be able to pay my rent. There's nothing wrong with that. But a big, bold prayer is, God, I'm asking you to increase me in such a way that I own my own home and that I can not only pay off my house, but I can help somebody else pay off their house. That's a big prayer. Amen. I wonder how many needs are not being met in your life simply because you're not asking. Dare to ask God for the things you need, the things you desire. If your job doesn't allow you to come to church on Sunday, why don't you ask God for a new job? Can he do that? And while you're at it, why don't you ask him for an increase in salary? Why stay at a job that you can't come to church? I've had people tell me, I wish I'd come to church, but I have to work. Why don't you ask God for a new job? Right? God wants to meet your needs and he wants to grant your desires, but often we don't ask him. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, you know, God knows what I need, and if he wants to bless me, he will. That's not how it works. Jesus, the Bible said in James chapter 4 and verse 2, you do not have what you want because you don't ask God for it. The reason you don't have what you want or what you need is, have you asked God for it? Because if you're not asking God, you're shortchanging yourself. You will never reach the fullness of your destiny and become everything God intended you to become if you only pray small prayers. Don't just pray to just get by, to just endure. Dare to ask God for big things. Ask for what God has promised you. Do you know that the Bible's filled? There's like 7,000 promises in the Bible. Do you know that you have a right to pray every one of them and ask God to bring them to pass? You know how I know that? Because Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 32, he said, don't ever be afraid, dearest friends, your loving Father, joyously gives you the his kingdom realm with all its promises. You know what that tells me? Every promise in the Word of God, God has given to me. I have a right to ask God for every one of those 7,000 promises. I can ask God because all his promises belong to me. And they belong to you. Amen. Now, I want to share with you 7 steps that you need to take when you ask God. How to receive, how to see your prayers answered. Because so often people, the reason they don't ask God is they don't know how. I'm going to take you through the 7 real basic important steps of how to pray and how to ask God. Number one, are you ready for this? Write this down. Are you writing this on your handout? You need to write this down. This is good to write in your Bible, even in the front cover of your Bible, because trust me, you're going to need this. Amen? Thanks for your great enthusiasm this morning. Now, number one, be specific about what you desire from God. God wants you to be specific. In Psalm 37, verse 4, the scripture says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Whose desires will God give? Your desires. John 15, verse 7, Jesus said this, if you abide in me, and if my words abide in you, you will ask what? You will ask what? What you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. The Bible says that God is glorified when I ask him for the things that I desire. That causes God to be glorified. Do you know that God gets glory when we ask and receive answers to prayer? Do you know that gives God glory? And when you ask God, you need to be specific. One day Jesus was walking through a town and there were 2 blind men on the side of the road. And when they heard all the commotion that Jesus was coming past, they started shouting out, Jesus, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. And the Bible says in Matthew 20, verse 32, that Jesus stood still and he called them and he said, what do you want me to do for you? Now, doesn't that seem like a bit of a strange question to ask a blind person? What do you want me to do for you? I mean, isn't it obvious what the man needed? So why did Jesus ask him? Because he wanted to see what the man believed. Because they could have said, well, you know, they could have turned around to the Lord and said, well, Jesus, you know, we just need some help. We're blind and we were wondering, you know, we need a seeing eye dog. We need a cane. We need someone to guide us. But instead, you know what they said? Lord, we want to see. Heal us. We want to see. Was Jesus upset with them? Did he say, how dare you tell me what you want? No. It says Jesus was deeply moved with compassion toward them, so he touched their eyes, and instantly they could see. And Jesus said, your faith has healed you, and all the people praised God because of this miracle, and the 2 men became his followers from that day onward. Let me tell you, God, say this, God wants to give me the desires of my heart. Ask him for what you desire. Ask big. Ask for the impossible. Will God grant any desire? Yes, if it's according to his will. If it's according to his will. That brings me to point number 2. Are you ready for point number 2? Yeah. Number 2, find scriptures that promise you what you are desiring and asking from God. Find scriptures. In 1 John 5, verse 14, the Bible says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. The Bible says that we can pray with confidence, knowing that God hears us if we ask him anything according to his will. Are you with me so far? It says, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. The Bible says if you just know that God heard you, you can know that you have what you asked him for. And how do you know that he heard you? Because you ask according to his will. Well, how can I be sure, Pastor Steve? What I'm asking is according to God's will. How can I know that? Very easy. God's word is God's will. The word of God reveals the will of God. So if you find scriptures that promise you the things that you are desiring and praying for, then you can know that is the will of God. The reason why some people don't have any confidence when they pray is because they are not sure whether what they're asking God is His will. They're not sure if God wants them to have the things they desire because they don't base their prayer on the Word of God. They say, well, I'm just a hoping and I'm just a praying. Well, you need to first find promises that promise you what you're asking for. Then you can pray with confidence knowing that it is God's will. Are you with me? See, people who don't know God's will, what they pray, they say, Lord, if it be thy will. They end every prayer, if it be thy will. What that tells me is you don't know if this is God's will. So you can't pray with any confidence, with any faith. Are you with me? They're not sure. Very often people pray, but they're not sure if it's God's will to heal them, if it's God's will to bless them, if it's God's will to prosper them. They're not sure. But the Word of God says in 3 John verse 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and that thou mayest be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That tells me it's God's will that I prosper. It's God's will that I be in health. Is that what that says? Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. That tells me that any time I'm asking God to help me or bless me financially, it's His will because He said, I wish above all things that you prosper and that you be in health. Now, that's just one scripture. There's thousands of scriptures. And the more that you know God's word, the more you'll know His will, the more you pray with confidence. Number three. You need to, once you have been specific, decide what are you asking God. Find scriptures that promise you that. Number three, ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Jesus said in John 16, verse 23, In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever, say whatever. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, maybe He'll give it to you. He will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. That's the second time Jesus tells us. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. If you read it in the Passion Bible, it says it like this. Go directly to the Father and ask Him for anything you desire, and He will give it to you because of your relationship with me. Until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name, but now you can go ask and keep on asking Him, and you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits. Jesus told us to ask God for anything we desire. God knows what we need before we even ask Him, but He still told us to ask. See, leaving it up to God, you know, whatever He thinks is best, that's actually not biblical, it's not scriptural. That Jesus, the Bible says you don't have because you don't ask. Number four, once you have asked the Father, Father, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus. Once you've done that, then you must believe that you receive what you ask for. In Mark 11, verse 24, Jesus said, Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. I've got to believe that I receive it when I pray, and then I will have it. The Passion Bible says it like this. This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I've got to believe that I've got it before I actually get it, before I see it, before I hold it in my hot little hands. I've got to believe that I received it when I ask God. What must I believe? I must believe that I received the answer to my prayer. When must I believe I received it? At the time that I pray, right now, present tense, I believe I receive. Thank you, Lord. I believe I have it now. Are you with me? You must believe that you receive, not hope that you do. You got to believe you got the answer before you actually see it, before you actually have it. And this is where so many people stumble, because they are waiting to see it and then they want to believe they received it. You got to believe you received it, and that's what causes you to see it. It's called faith. What did Jesus say you'll have? What did Jesus say that you will have? See, this is a trick question. This is a little trick question. What did Jesus say you will receive? Did he say you will receive what you desire? No. Did he say you will receive what you ask? No. No. He said you will receive whatever you believe that you received. In other words, you may desire it, you may ask it, but if you don't believe you received it, you're never going to get it. So let that sink in a little bit. If you don't believe you received it when you prayed and you asked, then you're not going to have it. Because the shall have comes after the believe you receive it. I've got to first, I believe I received it, I believe I have it, and that causes me to shall have it. You've got to believe you got it before you actually have it. Because it's believing that you have received it before you get it that causes you to have it. This is where so many people miss it, because they want to see it, they want to have it, and then they'll believe that they received it. How can you tell if you believe that you received what you asked God for when you prayed? I'll tell you one way, you won't ask God for the same thing again. Because if I ask God for the same thing over and over and over and over, that means I don't believe I received it. Because if I believe I received it, why would I ask God for the same thing again? See, some people, they want to see the answer to their prayer before they believe they have it. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. You see, faith is believing what God says. Doesn't matter what you see. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 says, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are just temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Bible says, I don't look at the things I see, because the things I see are temporary. They can change. But I'm looking at what is not seen. What is that? That's the word of God, the promise of God. I'm looking at that because that can never change. I'm not looking at what I see with my eyes. I am looking through the eye of faith, and I see myself. I believe I received what I asked God for. Are you with me? Faith doesn't look at what is seen in the natural. Faith is believing and acting on the word of God regardless of what you see. Believe what God says instead of what the enemy tells you. Because the devil will come and tell you your prayer is not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Satan operates in the sense realm. He's always trying to get you to focus on how things look and what you see and how you feel. But you see, when what you see with these eyes contradicts what God's word says, you got to rather believe what God's word says and ignore what you're seeing with your eyes. I believe what the word of God says, even though it doesn't look that way. I walk by faith and not by sight, and I'm going to continue believe I have received. See, all you got to do is ask God for the things you desire and believe you receive them when you ask. Because faith is what makes prayer work. And faith is based upon what God says, not what you see and not what you feel. Number five. So number one is decide what you want from God. Number two, find scriptures that promise you that. Number three, ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Number four, believe you receive when you pray. Number five, don't allow doubt. Don't allow doubts in your mind. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. The Passion Bible says it like this. Make sure you ask empowered by confident faith without doubting that you will receive. For the ambivalent person believes one minute and doubts the next. Being undecided makes you become like the rough seas driven and tossed by the wind. You're up one minute and you're tossed down the next. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. The Bible says that if we are doubting, if we waver, if we believe one minute and the next minute we doubt, that the Bible says we must not suppose that we will receive anything from the Lord. It says because he's an unstable man, double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So what that is telling us, once you've prayed, don't allow thoughts of doubt that you have the answer to your prayer. Don't allow thoughts of doubt that are contrary to what you pray. Don't allow them in your mind. When doubt comes to your mind, you got to reject it. You got to rebuke it. You got to realize this is from the enemy. Doubt comes from the enemy. Doubt doesn't come from God. Doubt comes from the enemy. God's not putting doubt in my mind. The enemy's putting doubt in my mind. And let me tell you, doubt comes to everybody. Doubt comes to me. I'm not going to accept it. The Bible says in James 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So when doubt tries to come to my mind, I say, doubt, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I reject every thought of doubt. I believe that the word of God is true. And I believe I have received what I prayed for. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, and verse 5, cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The Bible says that I've got to cast down any thought that would contradict, that would try and exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Any thought that comes to my mind that disagrees with what God says, I cast that. I realize that's not from God. I cast that down. I resist it in the name of Jesus. Are you with me? Because thoughts of doubt come to everybody, but don't accept them. Replace those thoughts with what God says. You've got to keep your mind on the answer. You've got to keep thinking about what God promised. God's word is the cure for doubt. Do you know what drives out doubt? God's word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when doubt comes to you, rather focus on the word of God. Replace those thoughts with the word of God. That's how you overcome doubt. Amen? You've got to eradicate any thought, any image, any suggestion that does not agree with the word of God, that does not agree with what you've prayed and asked for. Because any thought, any feeling, any suggestion, any image that tells you that you have not received, that is not from God. God doesn't bring doubt and unbelief to your mind. That is from the enemy. So reject any thought that doesn't agree with what God says and replace it with the word of God. Jesus said, if you believe that you received it, then you will have it. Amen. Now, very often people cancel their prayers out because instead of believing what God says, they believe what they see and they believe what the enemy is telling them. You've got to guard your mind if you're going to stay in faith. You've got to reject any thought that comes to your mind that tries to make you doubt the word of God. You've got to realize where that's coming from. Amen? That brings me to number six. Number six, thank and praise God for the answer to your prayer. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Tell your neighbor, don't worry about anything. Come on, they never heard you. Tell them, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. The Bible says, don't worry, rather pray. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him. You see, as long as you're worrying, let me tell you, all the praying in the world isn't going to do any good as long as you're worrying. Instead of worrying, pray. Ask God. And once you've asked God, you believe you receive. You don't ask for it again. But what do? You keep thanking him and you keep praising him for the answer. Because praise and thanksgiving demonstrates your faith. And it strengthens your faith. It keeps your faith working. That's what happened. We see that with Abraham. That's what happened with Abraham. God promised Abraham that he'd be the father of many nations. And he didn't have any children. His wife couldn't have children. And he's like 99 years old. And the Bible says in Romans 4 verse 17, as it is written, I've made you the father of many nations in the sight of him whom he believed. God who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as though they already existed. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised. So numberless so your descendants shall be. It says, Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered the impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. The Bible says no unbelief and no distrust made him doubtingly question the promise of God. But he grew strong in faith, and he was empowered by faith as he did what? As he gave praise and glory to God. Abraham gave thanks and praise to God before he saw the answer, and that's what made his faith even stronger. It says he was fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. The Passion Bible says, or the Living Bible says, he praised God for this blessing even before it happened. Let me tell you, Abraham's faith was strengthened and it was empowered as he gave praise and as he gave thanks to God. Here's what you got to know when you pray. You ask God once, you believe you receive, and then you thank him and you praise him. That's how it works. You thank him and you praise him. That's how it works. Andrew Murray. Anyone ever heard of Andrew Murray? Andrew Murray, great man of God. He said this. He said, it is not good taste to ask God for the same thing over and over again. If what you have prayed for has not materialized, you do not ask again because that would be unbelief. Remind God that you asked him. Remind God of his word. Remind God of his promises and tell him that you are expecting and thank him for it. That brings me to point number 7, the last point. You've got to confess that you have what you asked for. Very often people cancel their prayers with their own words. See, your words must agree with what you prayed. If you read the scripture right before where Jesus told us, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. The scripture right before that in verse 23, it says, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Do you notice how Jesus connects praying with our words? See, many times people, they ask God for something, but then they cancel it out with their words. Well, they pray, Lord, I'm asking you for a new job. Maybe I need a job. I'm asking you, Lord, to provide me with a job in the name of Jesus. Amen. Then the next day, you see them and you ask, how's it going? Oh, I tell you, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just can't find a job, man. I've been looking. You just canceled your prayer with what you said. Are you still there? Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2 says this, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Do you know that very often we are snared or trapped with our own words? Now I want to tell you a story about, you know, such a great illustration. Some of you have heard this before, but my pastor, Pastor Theo Womerantz. Yeah, that's him today. He's 71 years old, looking good, about to turn 72. And I got saved at Pastor Theo's church back in Johannesburg, South Africa, when I was about 15, just about to turn 16, a few months before. And I've learned so much from Pastor Theo. But Pastor Theo had a radical conversion. Before he became a Christian, he used to be pretty wild. He used to own nightclubs, mobile discos. That's him in the day, up on the stage. He was pretty crazy. And so then he got saved, and he gave his life to Jesus. And then he went to his pastor, and he said, what job can I do? Because this is all I've done. I'm jump up on stage, nightclubs. He said, and I don't want to do that anymore. He just walked away from it. So he said to his pastor, what should I do? And the pastor said to him, why don't you become a salesman? So he said, okay. So he went and he got a job working at a furniture store as a salesman. The furniture store was called Bears Brothers, and he worked there 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. And then on Sunday, he went to church on Sunday morning and again Sunday night, twice on Sunday. Then on Wednesday night, he went to youth group, and on Thursday night, he went to Bible study. And he was like at church like 4 or 5 times a week, and he's working 6 days, Monday through Saturday. So one Saturday, his friend comes into the store. He pulls out in front of the store. He's got his surfboard on the front. On the top of his car, he runs in the store. He says, Theo, go get your surfboard. Everyone's at the beach. The surf's amazing. Come join us. We're all surfing. And before Pastor Theo even had a chance to say hi, the guy turned and he was out the door. And Pastor Theo said, all of a sudden, as he was standing there, he suddenly had a desire to get a new job. Because I want a day off. How many of you know everyone needs a day off? So he decided he was going to ask God for a new job. And he took a little card, little white card, and he wrote down specifically what he was asking for in his new job. On the back of the card, he wrote down two scriptures. He wrote down John 16, verse 23, "Therefore I say, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." He wrote that scripture. And then he wrote down Mark 11, verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, whatever things that you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them." He wrote that scripture down. On the other side of the card, he wrote down five specific things that he wanted in his new job. Number one, he wanted a five-day week job where he worked Monday to Friday, so Saturday was a day off, and then Sunday was church all day. Number two, he wanted to be a traveling salesman. He didn't want to be in a store all day like he had been selling furniture. He wanted to be on the road, his own boss. And number three, he wrote down what he wanted to make. Now, he wrote down that he wanted to have a job where he got a basic salary of $800 per month and then commission of at least $600, giving him a total of $1,400 per month. Number four, he wanted a company car because he figured out, if I'm driving all over for the company, I don't want to use my car. I want a company car. And he wrote, "I want a brand new yellow 1600 Datsun." That was a cool car in those days. And then number five, he wanted to start his new job on January 1st because, you know, Pastor Theo is he thinks everything through. Let me tell you. He figured December's his best month. His best month in the furniture deal was December. So he only wanted to start his new job on January 1st because he didn't want to miss out on all his December sales. So January 1st, that's when I want to start my new job. So after looking at his prayer, he thought, man, this is a big prayer. And he wondered if it's possible because at the time, he was making $200 a month. So he's praying and asking God for a job of $1,400, and he's making $200. It's seven times what he's making now. So imagine asking God for a job seven times what you're making now. That's how big this prayer was. And so he kept reading the scriptures. John 16, verse 23. "In that day you'll ask me nothing. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them." He kept reading them over and over for about 15 minutes, just reading. What happens when you meditate on the Word of God? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as he's hearing himself speak out these scriptures, he feels his faith rising in his heart. He had this joy. He had this excitement. And suddenly he knew that he just knew, and he believed. He believed that he received it. He wrote on the card the date and the time. "I believe I received my new job on this day at this time right now. I believe I have received it." He started thanking God. "Lord, I want to thank you for my new job. I believe I start working there January 1st. I want to thank you and praise you, Lord. Thank you for giving me this new job." Now, if you believe that you received it, you don't ask God for the same thing over again. But what do? You thank him and you praise him and you begin to confess your faith. So he went to where he was working at the time. There were 17 other salespeople. He went to the first person. He said, "Did I tell you? Have you heard about my new job?" "No. Tell me about it." "Oh, man, I was so excited. I've got this new job I'm starting. I'm starting January 1st. You know, it's only I only work 5 days a week. It's a traveling sales job. They give me my own company car, brand new yellow 1600 Nissan Datsun. And the guy said, what salary they're offering you?" "Oh, that's the best part. Listen to this. They're giving me a $800 commission, an $800 basic salary, and a $600 in commission." And they're like, "Wow, man, where's this job?" I can't tell you that. That's a secret. The reason he couldn't tell them is he had no idea. Then he went to the second salesman. "Have you heard about my new job?" "No." He told every salesman that same spiel. Why? Because every time he said it, he's speaking forth his faith. And finally, when he told all 17 of them, then he started again at the first one. "Did I tell you about my new job?" The guy said, "Yeah, you told me." "Oh, please, can I tell you again?" "All right, tell me about it again." He's not telling him for his benefit. He's telling them for my benefit. Are you with me? When thoughts of doubt would come to his mind, when he had thoughts of doubt, he'd grab out that little card. He kept it with him all the time, and he'd read his card. He'd read the scriptures. He put it by his bed when he went to sleep. When he get up in the morning, he'd pick up his car, start thanking and praising God for his new job and confess, thank you, Lord, for my new job. Hello? He forgot that January 1st was a national holiday in those days. Everything was closed. It's like July 4th over here. Because everything closes July 4th here, right? Right? Well, what holiday does everything close on? Christmas Day. Everything closes Christmas Day. It was like then. Everything closed January 1st. So he had the day off, and he's out surfing at the beach. And he comes home. At his apartment, there's a note on the door. A friend of his saying, call me quick. Call me urgent. So he called his friend, and his friend said, listen, I'm with this businessman. He's a Christian. He's got his own company, and he needs a new salesman. And I was telling him about you, and he wants you to come right now. He wants to interview you. So Theo said, listen, I just came from the beach. I've got my swimsuit. I've got full of sand. They said, we don't care. Come as you are right now. And so he went in for the interview. The man interviewed him. After all the questions, he said, the man said to him, listen, I want to offer you this job. I believe you're the right person. What would it take to get you to come work for us? Have you given it any thought? He said, actually, I have. And he told him what he wanted. He told him everything that was on his card. And the businessman said, well, look, that's more than we've ever paid anyone else. And Pastor Theo said, I understand. But listen, when you employ me, you got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and all the angels working for you. I'll sell more than anyone ever sold before. And he said, you're on. And he got the job, and he sure outsold everyone that ever worked there before. He got exactly what he prayed and asked for. Listen, Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, if you read it from the Message Bible, this is Mike's favorite scripture. It says, let me tell you what God said next. He said, you my son, and today is your birthday. What do you want? Name it. Nations as a prize? Continents as a present? What does that mean? When God says today is your birthday, what is he telling us? Well, how many of you know on your birthday, more than any other time, you feel entitled to ask for something out of the ordinary? Normally, you don't want anyone to go out of their way for you, but on your birthday, you think, well, it's my birthday today. I'm going to ask for that favor. I'm going to ask for that new outfit. I'm going to ask for that new set of golf clubs. And they are, you know, as you get older, maybe your enthusiasm wanes a little bit. But think back to when you were a child and it was your birthday. That was your special day. You had a boldness to ask for what you really wanted. Well, God is saying, when you pray, act like it's your birthday. Come to me with a boldness and ask me for what you really want. Ask me for those big things. Ask me for those hidden dreams. Don't be shy. Don't hold back. Ask me for big things. Amen. You know, my son Luke is 31 years old now. And now he has, you know, two children of his own. But I remember when he was about 6 years old and he wanted this specific toy for his birthday. Oh, and we went. This was the days before it wasn't quite like the internet is today. No Amazon, pre-Amazon days. And we went from store to store looking for this thing. And eventually, after spending half the day driving around, we found it. I didn't mind going out of my way because you know what? As a parent, you'll do anything for their kids, especially on their birthday. How much more will your Heavenly Father grant your requests? Jesus said in Matthew 7:11, he said, as bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children, but your Heavenly Father is even more ready to give good things to people who ask. What if my kids never asked me for anything? What if my kids had treated me like I'm bothering them? What if they were intimidated? That would make me feel bad. I'd say, come on, man, step up to the plate. I'm your father. I want to be good to you. I love you. Ask me, what do you want on your birthday? Some of you need to step up to the plate. God is your Father, and He wants to be good to you. He loves you. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Come boldly. The Message Bible says, let's walk right up to Him and get what He is ready to give. Take the mercy. Accept the help. God wants to help you. He says, come boldly. Ask me like it's your birthday. Be bold to ask God for big things. Stop asking God for little small things. Amen. Quit acting like you're bothering God. Your Father owns it all. He created the whole universe. The earth and all its fullness belong to God. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to the Lord. The gold and the silver belong to God. Amen. Let me tell you, if you are going to see the fullness of what God has in store, you've got to learn to ask big. You've got to ask Him for your dreams, ask Him to turn that child around, ask Him for your healing, ask Him for a better job, ask Him for a new home. You're not inconveniencing God. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, God's got bigger things to deal with than me. Let me tell you, you are God's biggest deal, my friend. You're the apple of His eye. You is my most prized possession. Too often, instead of asking God like it's our birthday, believing He will do something special, we do just the opposite. Oh, I can't ask for that, Pastor Steve. That wouldn't be right. That would be greedy. That would be selfish. Listen, Jesus said in Romans 8:32, since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Listen, if God already gave Jesus the greatest gift you could ever receive, the Bible says, is there anything else He wouldn't give you? He'll give you everything else as well. In Luke 12:32, Jesus said, do not fear, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you His kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you His kingdom. The Passion Bible says, your loving Father joyously gives you His kingdom realm with all of its promises. Amen. Every promise in the Bible is yours. There's thousands of promises in the Word of God, like 7,000 promises. Promises of healing, promises of blessing, promises of provision, promises of favor. It is God's pleasure to answer your prayer. It gives Him glory. Nothing makes God happier than to see you step up to the person that you were created to be. Let me tell you, I don't want to get to heaven and hear God say, Steve, I had all these blessings for you. I had favor, good breaks, divine connections. You never asked me. You stayed in the safe zone. I wanted you in the faith zone, but you stayed in the safe zone. You prayed small prayers. I wanted you to pray bold, big, God-sized prayers. Let me tell you, the Bible says in Psalm 31, verse 19, Lord, how wonderful You are. You've stored up so many good things for us, like a treasure chest heaped up and spilling over with blessings, all for those who honor and worship You. Do you know the Bible says that there are blessings stored up for you? The Bible says God has stored up blessings for you because you honor God, because you worship God. There are blessings with your name on it. There are houses, businesses, ministries, books, movies, got your name on it. God wants to release them, but He's waiting for you to ask Him. He's waiting for you to ask. I imagine in heaven, there's this big, huge warehouse filled with storerooms. And as you walk down the halls, you see doors with names on, millions of doors. And finally, you come to a door. It's got your name on it. And you say, what's in here? And the angel tries to downplay it. You don't want to go in there. You say, no, it's got my name on it. I want to go in there. And so you go in and you convince him to let you go in. And you see row after row after row of boxes on shelves. And you open one up and you realize these are blessings that belong to you. They were never released to you because you never asked God. Here's a box of favor. God wanted me to have it last week, but I never asked Him. Here's a book I was supposed to write, but I gave up on it. Here's a business God had for me. Here's healing that belonged to me. Listen, family. Row after row of favor, good breaks, good ideas. They were all stored up for me, but God never released them because I never asked Him. I don't know about you, but I want to make sure my warehouse is empty. I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to be selfish, but I want every blessing that God has got for me. I want to become everything God created for me. How about you? I want to have everything God intended me to have. How about you, family? Remember, Psalm 2 says it's today's your birthday. Today's always in the present. When you get up tomorrow, God is saying, today's your birthday. What do you want? Amen. Just imagine every day when you get up, imagine God saying, good morning. Today's your birthday. What can I do for you? Why does He do this? So that you'll have the boldness to ask for things you wouldn't normally ask for. Amen. If you go to God with this childlike faith, believing it's your birthday, asking for things you wouldn't normally, you'll see amazing things happen. God will show out in your life in greater ways than you ever could have imagined, family. That's what Solomon did. In Psalm 72, Solomon prayed what seemed to be a very selfish prayer. Solomon prayed in Psalm 72, verse 17, he said, let the king be famous forever. Talking about himself. Let the king be famous forever. Let him be remembered as long as the sun shines. Let the nations be blessed because of him, and that they may all bless him. Now, he prayed that God would make him famous, that wealth and honor would be brought to him, that kings and queens would bow before him. You would think God would say, Solomon, what's wrong with you? I'm not going to make you famous. I'm not going to give you honor, wealth, and influence. You need to learn some humility, boy. But God didn't rebuke him. God didn't tell him he was selfish and greedy. In fact, God did exactly what he asked. Solomon is one of the most famous people who ever lived. Is that right? He was the richest man who ever lived. The Queen of Sheba came and bowed down before him and brought him silver and gold. But here's the key. The reason God answered that bold prayer is because in that same psalm, listen to what Solomon said in the same psalm, Psalm 72, verse 12. He said, do this because the king rescues the homeless when they cry out, and he helps everyone who is poor and in need. The king has pity on the weak and the helpless and protects those in need. He cares when they hurt, and he saves them from cruel and violent deaths. Solomon asked big, not just so that he would be impressive, not so that he would drive the fanciest chariot and live in the biggest palace. It was so he could help the homeless, so he could lift the fallen, so he could restore the broken, so he could help the hurting, so that he could advance the kingdom of God. Listen to me now as I close with this. God's got no problem giving you the desires of your heart. He's got no problem giving you influence, honor, wealth, even fame, as long as your dream in some way is connected to helping to build God's church and making this world a better place for people. As long as your dream is connected to God's dream. Let me tell you, I believe God is raising up a generation of Solomons. People who've got the boldness to say, God, make me famous in my field. Let my gifts and talents stand out. Let my work be so excellent, so inspiring, that people around me know who I am. Not for my glory, but so that I can use my influence to advance your kingdom, to advance your church. Are you listening to me, church? Whatever field you're in, whether it's medicine, sales, construction, accounting, I dare you to pray. God, make me famous in my field. Let me shine. Give me influence. Give me ideas, creativity, witty inventions, favor, open doors, and then use your influence to help people and do good and build God's church. Amen. Let me tell you, there's no limit to what God will do for you if you'll use what he's given you to help other people. Do you know that God said to Abram, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. Do you know the reason God wants to bless you is because he wants you to be a blessing. James chapter 4 verse 2 says, you don't obtain what you want because you won't ask God for it. And if you ask, you won't receive it, for you're asking with corrupt motives, seeking only to fulfill your own selfish desires. You see, if you're asking God to bless you financially, do you have a heart to help the church of God? Do you have a heart to support the kingdom of God? Or are you just concerned about yourself? Jesus said, when you put first the kingdom of God and you seek first the kingdom of God, he said all these other things will be added to you. God's got no problem adding things to you. He just wants you to keep him first, and he wants you to have a heart for the kingdom of God and for his church and to be a blessing to people. Be bold to ask God. He wants you to ask him. Ask big. Go to God like it's your birthday. Be specific about what you ask. Find scriptures that promise it. Ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Believe you receive when you pray. Don't allow doubt to talk you out of it. Thank and praise God for the answer. And confess, talk, confess like you have it. Confess that you have received it. If you'll do this, you will see amazing things. The reason we don't have is because we don't ask. I encourage you today on that paper to write, to pray. If you have a need, you have a desire, have you asked God? Do what I'm telling you. Write it down. Write down the date. Write down the time. I believed, I received at this time. Then start thanking God. Start praising God. Start confessing your faith. And I'm expecting to hear testimonies from all, from y'all. I'm expecting y'all to come and, all y'all to come and say, Pastor Steve, guess what? Guess what I asked God for? Guess what the Lord did? Because let me tell you, if we know God hears us, we know we have received it. Amen? Did you get something out of this today? Won't you give God thanks and praise? Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Well, we didn't have any visitors today, right? I'm looking, I know everybody here. I believe everyone's saved. Not sure about Dennis, but should I give an altar call just for Dennis today? Praise the Lord. Say this year. Come on, say it. Say this year. I declare in the name of Jesus that I am bold to invite people to church. Say, I am bringing 20 people to church during 2020 in the name of Jesus. Do you know that if we all brought 20 people to church in 2020, we would have 5,000 first-time visitors. If we all bring 20 people this year, we'd have 5,000 first-time visitors. Amen.
Good preaching.
Thank you. Thank you.
He can preach faith. I tell you what, my faith just, you feel yourself being strengthened. Amen. Well, it's time right now. We have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And you know, let me say this. During offering time, there's no need to be fanatical. There's no need to be manipulative. You know, the Bible says in all you're getting, get understanding. And honestly, we believe in leading by teaching. I want to just teach you what the Word of God says, and that way lead you into all the promises that God has for you. Amen? And you know, sometimes people want to be real spiritual, and they're like, oh, I don't want to talk about money in church. But do you know the truth is that 78% of all people that are incarcerated today are incarcerated because of something to do with money. Do you know that more divorces happen because of money than because of adultery? Do you know that? There are a lot of problems when it comes to money, so we need to talk about it in the way that God sees it, right? And so, you know, it's not about talking about, oh, I want to get rich. No, it's talking about getting into a place where you have a flow of, you know, the money is called currency. It's like it's a current. We want a flow of finances in our life so that we're able to be a blessing wherever we go. Amen? And so Malachi 3 verse 10 says this. It says, God says, I am the Lord all-powerful, and I challenge you to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. Now, you know, just to talk about, people might say, well, why 10%? It's very, very specific right there, isn't it? Right through the Bible. It was the first tenth. It was the first fruits. 10 is symbolic of the whole. You know, in our numeric system, if you can count to 10, you can count to a million. You know, Brady, my nephew, my grandson, who's 6, he's at school, and he says every day they put one, two, like they just draw lines for every day, and when we get to 10, we bundle it, and then we do and start again. So you count to 10. When you get to 11, you're starting from 1 again. So 10 really, all the numbers, it's just a million is groups of 10. So it's all based on the 10. It's very important. Move on for me, please. Thank you. I want to follow my train of thought because otherwise I'll lose you somewhere. I know what I'm saying. So when you give your tithe, you're not just giving 10%. You're saying all of my money belongs to you. That's really what it's all about. It's represented with a tithe because the tenth is symbolic of the whole, right? You know that this principle is so powerful, we actually got saved on this principle. You know, the Bible says that Jesus died, he went and he presented his blood before the Father, but then it says in Ephesians, we raised up together with him, right? And so we made to sit together with him. So Jesus did it, but we were included in it. That's what it's about. At this, the point that Jesus got in, we got in because he's the tithe. He was the first fruit. He was God's first fruit, and we were included in it. So when we bring the tithe, we bring the tenth, we are including all our finances. We're saying, God, everything I have belongs to you. Amen. And so I encourage you today to be faithful. I encourage you to follow the Lord when it comes to these scriptures. When we teach you this, it's because it's a way of getting your finances under the umbrella of God, right? You know, when you do that, you don't have to worry about the enemy. You don't have to worry about your critics. You don't have to be jogging for position, because you know that whatever God has for me, it's for me. He doesn't consult with anybody else. When you put your finances under God's covering by tithing, then everything is blessed. Amen. And so, you know, I just was thinking about it. Our daughter Nadine, she's not here today. She just works one Sunday a month. But she sat here and she knows that she's a tither. And then she said, you know what? I want to earn more. So she said, I'm going to increase my tithe. I'm going to tithe what I believe that I'm going to earn. And so she started doing it. She only told us after the fact. But you know, it was less than 3 months she was offered it. She was 3 years in the nursing profession. She was only there 3 years. She was offered a management position. And because there were four other people in that position, they had to jump her hourly rate up like 10 years ahead because she had to be on the same level. And she was earning exactly what she was believing God for. So let me tell you, there's people in sales who step up and they believe God, and God does way beyond. So come on, let's use our faith when it comes to our finances. But we start off by putting the whole lot under the covering of God by bringing the tithe. Amen? So go ahead, there's envelopes right on the seat where you are. I feel like you want to add something to that.
There's something to say, yep.
I know you got something to say.
You know, it's amazing what happens when you begin to honor God with the tithe. We really thank God for all of our faithful givers and tithers. You know, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. I don't know if you realize this, but you know, it takes money to run this place. I don't know if you realize that, but this don't happen for free. And you know, I remember when I started, some people, they want to debate and they don't believe in tithing. They don't believe this, they don't believe that. You know, God said, why don't you just, he said, I challenge you, put me to the test, prove me, see if I won't. You're too late to argue with me about tithing, because I've been doing it since I was 17 years old. When I started tithing, I was making $450 a month. My tithe was $45. Now, at the time, $45 was a lot of money to me at the time. But you know what? Within 24 months, I was making $2,000. My salary went four times. It quadrupled. It quadrupled in 24 months. And the only thing I can explain it is I started tithing. Then I got a better job, and then I got a promotion. And I want to tell you right now, how many of you have proved this in your life? People who haven't tithed, you don't know what you're missing. Because let me tell you, you can never outgive God. Whatever you give to God, He's going to give you much more back. So actually, when people that don't tithe are actually, you're robbing yourself. You're robbing yourself of the blessings of God, and you're hindering the kingdom of God from doing what we need to do. Because how many of you know, if it wasn't for tithers, we wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be in this building. No one would be here. Thank God for all our faithful tithers and givers. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be a giver, not a taker. I want to be a giver, not a taker. Yeah, come on, Maria, you got something to say. I want you to come up here, Mike, as we close. Come up here, Maria. All right.
I just really wanted to get up and share, and the Lord is really, like, prompting me to get up out my seat, and I don't ever do that. But I just want to share.
Do you know who Maria is? Maria is the leader of our children's Jacin Kids.
But I just wanted to share, because this has really, really rang true in my life. So I've been here, just hit 5 years with Pastor Steve and Pastor Jill, September of last year. So I've been at the same company for 14 and a half years now. And so if we're going to do the math here. So I've been with the Pastor Jill and Pastor Steve for 5 years now. I started offering like as pretty much as soon as I started coming to church, but then I started tithing probably like a year in, like full on tithing. started doing that, I'm going to make it real quick. I automatically got my boss just pulled me in the office and was like, I think you should be making more money. And she gave me a $3,000 annual raise.
Wow.
She just gave it to me and was like, I think you need to be making more money. So that was the first thing. And then, and mind you, I was in the same position for like 10 or 11 years. So then, continue tithing. Even when I was like, oh my gosh, how's this going to work out? Still continue tithing. I am in my 3.5 years in my new job I got 3 years ago in the same company, but a different position in a different department. I am now bringing home my full, like, bring home after taxes, the entire salary that I used to make before taxes, before that. So I've doubled my salary, and I'm bringing home my entire salary that I used to make before taxes. So I'm just being faithful in that. Even when you think that it's, you know, it's not going to work out, God's going to work it out. And I try to be a blessing to others. That's like the main thing, blessing to your family, blessing to complete stranger, and teaching my son the same thing. But I just wanted to encourage you guys with that because it really is true. It is true. Oh, and I bought a house, too. I'm a single mom.
Yeah, you bought
about
a house,
that. Too.
You bought a house.
I did, so.
Praise God, Maria. You know what? And let me tell you, Maria's a single mom who takes care of her parents. But how many of you know God is not limited? He's not limited. Amen? Praise God. Hold that in your hand. Did they receive the offering already? Ushers, are you ready? Where are me ushers at? You ready? Father, I thank you. Lord, as we tithe and honor you, that you promised you'd open the windows of heaven, you would pour out such blessing, Father, that we wouldn't have room enough to receive it. And you said you would rebuke the devourer. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, the windows of heaven are open above every tither, every giver. I thank you that blessings are overtaking us, chasing us down. In the name of Jesus, I declare you are blessed. I declare that finances are coming into your hand. In the name of Jesus, amen. Do you agree with that? Amen. Give that microphone to Mike. As we close out today, the usher is going to receive the offering. Don't leave just yet. I want to just say this to you. We have Mike Francine staying with us. He's staying at our home. Come stand up here. If you don't know who Mike Francine is, when he was 19 years old in college, come stand up here with me. When he was 19 years old in college, he gave his life to Jesus. 6 weeks later, he was out preaching. And then by the time he was 21, you had your first crusade. Is it 21? 20 years old, his first crusade in the Philippines. And he had 4,000 people get saved. And then his next crusade in India, he had 37,000 people get saved. And it's now 40 years. He's done over 300 international crusades in 103 countries with 13 million people giving their life to Christ. He's written 29 books. He's given away 3 million books. In fact, he said to me, Steve, I want to help you and Jill while I'm here write your book. Good news, I started writing. I'm on the first chapter. I'm almost done with my first chapter. I'm going to have that book out by March. I'm going to bring it out. My book's called Transformation, and he's helping it. And Jill's writing a book the Lord gave her called Raising Good Kids in a Bad World. God gave her this book years ago. We're going to have our books out by March. But I want you, as we were talking last night, Mike and I, he said, Steve, could I say a few words? I want to just encourage the church. Evangelist Mike Francine, he said, I'm going to help you. We're going to build this church. This church should be filled up. That's what he told me. Tell them what you told me.
You know, we've known each other for, 20 years?
Wow.
I've heard you preach twice now.
Only two times, huh?
You're amazing. I mean, seriously. I've already stole last week's message, and I'm stealing this week's message. And this is the only time I've ever given you credit for it. So the rest, they're on my own. But you know what? I mean, seriously, what he said today... What he said last week, that's powerful stuff. How many of you have been blessed? How many of you have been changed by this church?
Praise God. Praise God.
Then you don't have a right to keep it to yourself.
That's right.
20 people? No. How would believe God for one in these next few months? Bring somebody you know before God, before the throne, and say, God, let me be a witness. Let them partake of what I'm being blessed with. Seriously, Steve.
Yes.
Last week, this week, you're good. Dang. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it with people. Put somebody on your prayer list this week that you're going to invite them to the church.
Yes.
You're going to ask God for their soul, for their heart.
Yes.
You know what? There's no reason this church shouldn't double this year.
Absolutely.
No reason. No reason. If it doesn't, it's because of you. Because you know what? There's something powerful here. There's something special here. Something God here. Don't keep it to yourself.
Yes.
Ask God for somebody. Let's not even go to 20 yet right now. Let's go to one that you invite them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You invite them. Go pick them up. Bring them to church. Mm-hmm. Take them out for dinner after. This church has got to grow because you know what? What God has here is something special. I've been doing this for a long time.
Coming up 40 years.
Thank God I started when I was six. It's my story and I'm sticking to it. Don't keep it. Share it.
Amen.
Live it.
Amen.
Love it.
Amen.
Steve.
Amen.
Thank you guys.
Let's
you guys
pray.
Are awesome.
Pray for them as they go. Now stand up with me. Remember this. You got these little invite cards that we gave out. We got thousands of these things. Keep them with you. Because you know what? When you get that opportunity, it's so easy. Just to say, I want to invite you, man. My life was changed. This and stuff, coming to a same church, whatever. And you can write on the back, amen. Say, I'm going to pray. Father, I pray right now as we leave for every single person. Lord, you've called us all to let your light shine. And I pray, Father, as we go out this week, that every one of us would invite someone. Every one of us would bring someone. Father, we are praying and believing that this church doubles this year. In the name of Jesus, minimum doubles this year. And we give you all the thanks and all the praise in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Say he's a way maker. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad you were here today. Praise the Lord.
Here.